Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Welcome to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. So you may have missed it yesterday, but yesterday was like Darwin Day. Let me just say that yesterday was the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And we're going to live in the world bearing authentic, reliable witness to the one who has revealed himself as Creator God, the one who has come incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ for the redemption, not only of those who would put their trust in him and believe in Jesus Christ unto salvation, but for the redemption of creation itself. All creation groans with eager longing for man's redemption. This is the declaration of Scripture, and I receive it for what it truly is, the very Word of God. My encouragement to you today is to receive the Scriptures for what they truly are, the very Word of God. That's an encouragement from the Apostle Paul to the believers in Thessalonica, and it's an encouragement to us as well today. This is the day in which we live in the context of non-believers. We have neighbors who don't believe. We have neighbors who are functional atheists. We have neighbors who are active atheists. We have neighbors who are militant atheists. And so let me just remind us that we are members of a church that is triumphant. We are members of a church that here on the earth right now, today, in these days, on Darwin Day and every other day, we are the church militant. And that doesn't mean that we are militaristic. It means that we are a part of the advancing gospel always and in all ways. And the gospel advances as the people of Christ bear the image of Christ and the reality of who Christ is into our relationships and into our lives. So let that be an encouragement today. You and I are the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, and we are today sent by Christ into the world that he so loves to be his ambassadors, to be agents of his grace, to be ministers of his gospel, ministers of reconciliation. And that means that we are going today to bridge the gaps between heaven and earth. We are going to bridge the gaps between the belief in creationism and the belief that some put in creation itself. So there you go. That's my calling and challenge and hopeful encouragement to each and every one of us today. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to jump into a conversation with Drew Griffin from Providence Magazine, and we're going to return to that headline story that you heard about anti-Semitism being on the rise. You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Good morning. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. I am joined by Drew Griffin. Drew is the managing editor for Providence Magazine, one of my favorite places to go. I'd encourage you to go to providencemag.com. It's a great place to go if you are interested in making the connection between foreign affairs and the Christian faith and how it is that we as Christians bear authentic witness in the world today, not just here in the United States of America, but literally in the world and what that looks like. So Drew is a veteran of over a dozen political campaigns. He writes on the intersection of faith and culture a lot. He also served for 3 years as the director of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary Extension Center in New York City. He was a professor of theology at the New York School of the Bible, and he also planted a church in New York City's Upper East Side. So he loves Christ, he loves the church, and he loves the culture, which Christ is now seeking to reach through his people. So Drew, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Well, Carmen, thank you. Good morning. It's good to talk with you. Welcome to the early mornings. Congratulations on this new show.
Well, thank you so much. So I've got lots of friends over there at the Philos Project and at Providence Mag and down at the, Mark Tooley down. I mean, I have sure. lots of mutual friends, so that'll establish my credibility to talk with you today, I suppose. Your friends are my friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's great.
Talk with us about the when we read or hear that there is this dramatic rise in anti-Semitism, actual anti-Semitic acts in France. When we read something like, you know, anti-Semitic acts in France rose by 74% last year, that sounds pretty staggering. We don't even know what those are. What does it mean? What is anti-Semitism? What is an anti-Semitic act? And what, you know, how do you interpret this kind of dramatic rise?
Well, I think it's a valuable question. I think it's an important question, something that we always have to be on the lookout for. It's anti-Semitism basically is any kind of behavior, any posture or opinion which is oriented kind of against the Semitic people, typically the Jewish people. So Judaism, the Jewish people, the state of Israel, any kind of position or behavior which is overly or irrationally critical or violent against the Jewish people, wherever they are, whether they're in Israel or whether they're abroad. When you look internationally and you see the rise of anti-Semitism, especially in a country like France, I think a lot of that is predicated on the rise of immigration and migration on the part of French citizens and people who live in France now from North African Muslim countries and countries across the Middle East that are predominantly Muslim. And those countries, and it is not atypical for Muslim countries and Muslims to have negative opinions about Israel, negative opinions about the Jewish people. Wherever you see typically, and I know this is a broad brush, and I know there are going to be people who are going to say, you know, you can't paint all Muslims this way or Islam this way, and I'm not trying to do that, but I am just saying that there is it is not an accident that there's a correlation between whenever you see a rise in the number of people of the Muslim faith in a particular area, that you see a rise in anti-Semitism. But it isn't just limited to Islam, and it isn't just limited to Muslims. Anti-Semitism is just mere hatred. And hatred is within the heart of everyone, whether they are Christian, whether they're non-Christian, whether they're secular, whether they are Muslim, whoever they are. Like, a hatred is present in the human heart, and it can rear its head in the form of anti-Semitism, regardless of where it's coming from. And so it's something to be on the lookout for, something to be on guard against. Not because necessarily you should have a particular affinity for the Jewish people or the state of Israel, but because they're human beings and they're image bearers of God, and Jewish people in the state of Israel have a right to exist. The state of Israel has a right to exist, and Jews have a right to exist unmolested and unhindered wherever they live, just like the rest of us do. And so it's a particular form of hatred that has to be, that we have to guard against, and that we have to be on the lookout for, because for whatever reason, it's prevalent and it continues to advance.
So let's bring this conversation, you know, home here to the United States. Everybody certainly remembers the clearly anti-Semitic terroristic act that took place at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, in Greater Pittsburgh last year. And so then when we read and observe and hear about an anti-Semitic tweet by a member of Congress, we admit that we are, our brows furrow, our hearts go out to those who are maligned, but we also wonder, is this on the rise here in the United States? So can you talk about anti-Semitism here in the United States of America?
Sure. I think what we've seen over the past several years is a rise in acts that would be described as anti-Semitic, acts of hatred and violence and vandalism towards Jewish sites and Jewish cemeteries across the Northeast, the horrific attack of the synagogue there in Pennsylvania, and a rise in rhetoric. I mean, one of the disadvantages of kind of social media, if it has major disadvantages, is that it's a platform where people can, you know, spout all amounts of hatred. And so people who watch for these things, people who monitor the kind of amount of traffic, have seen kind of an increase in hate speech that's directed towards the Jewish people and would be described as anti-Semitism here in the U.S. And so it's in terms of what is causing this kind of rise, I think it is, again, probably the age-old problem of just hatred in the human heart that's exacerbated, I think, by a political environment which is increasingly dominated by tribalism, increasingly dominated by division, and is dominated, I think, now and given license to by a number of our leaders, given license to a rhetoric that is increasingly kind of vile and mean and hateful, that there's a space now in the public sphere to get away with saying things that, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, or even maybe 10 years ago, would have been unthinkable in the public sphere. But it's given license by the idea of kind of religious hatred and political frustration. And so, yeah, it's something that's, I think, definitely worth watching. And we have to be on guard against. It's not just a matter of observing. When we see it, we have to speak out against it. Because the only thing necessary for this evil to succeed is for the rest of us to do nothing. And if we do nothing, it will advance. And so it has to be fought back.
All right, friends, I'm going to continue my conversation with Drew Griffin in just a minute. He and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I am going to, Drew, I'm going to ask you to help us think through foreign affairs, applying the mind of Christ to, you know, what happens in the world. Looking forward to you sharing with us sort of what you're hearing, reactions from those on the ground in the Middle East about the prospect of a U.S. drawdown there. So we will be right back. I am Carmen LeBurge. You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LeBurge, continuing my conversation with Drew Griffin from Providence Magazine. You can follow him on Twitter. You can also follow Providence Magazine on Twitter or just check them out directly at providencemag.com. So, Drew, I want to ask you, you know, kind of a step back from the immediate headlines and help us think through foreign affairs with the mind of Christ. I think of it as, you know, Christ's perspective on all of this is eternal, it is global, it is gospel, it's intentionally redemptive, and it's an opportunity for Christians to, like, bear actual witness in the context of the kingdoms of this world to the kingdom realities, you know, of God. So tell me how you sort of think through foreign affairs applying the mind of Christ.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think that what Providence Mag and what we try and do through our coverage is to apply classical Christian conviction to the problems of the world and the problems of foreign policy as the United States engages in it. And part of that classical Christian conviction is rooted in what we'd like to call Christian realism, which is not a phrase that we coined, but it's a phrase that we appreciate, that seeks to apply to the news and to the events and to world affairs a realistic picture of what is actually going on, that there are realities at work that sometimes don't always appear in the headlines, but definitely underwrite the headlines, that we have to, as Christians, be aware of the fact that there is real fallenness and real sinfulness in the world, which affects the way that both bad and good actors seek to kind of comport themselves on the world stage, and that there's also a greater mission that we have as individuals here on earth as Christians specifically, but even just as non-Christians, as image bearers of God, that we're placed here with a specific mandate. And that mandate is one that is providential. To be provident is to provide for creation. And that is why God has placed us here, is to be fruitful, to multiply, and to exercise dominion over this earth. This gets back to the very mandate that we have as his image bearers that he gives to us in Genesis. And so that comes with certain responsibilities. it comes to responsibilities to portray his image of his love, his justice, his truthfulness, and his righteousness around the world, wherever we see it. And so when the United States has immense power that's been given to it, I think providentially given to it, and has been gifted with immense resources, that comes with an immense responsibility. And one of the great things I think that we have in this country is the tradition of Judeo-Christian values, which informs our morality, which informs our witness, which informs our foreign policy, to take advantage of the power that we've been given, not in a way that we've seen other, imperialist or despotic regimes across the centuries take advantage of it for their own power and their own greed, but to take advantage of that power to see that justice and righteousness made a reality around the globe. So if we see injustice happening, we should be there to correct it. When we see people who are behaving in a way that is antithetical to humanity and human rights, we should step in and speak loudly against it, and if need be, take up the sword in order to punish those who are doing wrong. And so it really is, I think, a mindset and a global worldview that's informed both by our Christian heritage, but by the political realities that we face and the opportunity that we have as Americans to engage and use our power, not just for our own interests, but for the global interests and the interests of justice, which I think ultimately reflects back onto God's good character.
So let's practice a little bit of that Christian realism. What are you hearing on the ground from your friends in the Middle East about in reaction or response to this proposed drawdown of U.S. forces in the Middle East?
Yes, I mean, I was in Israel just last month, and I had conversations about this, with people within the Israeli foreign ministry and people on the ground. And, there's a good opinion that, of course, Israelis have of the United States and the Trump administration for a number of reasons. But the one thing that does concern them, the one thing that was kind of a common refrain of worry was the idea of the United States withdrawing from Syria. The United States only has a couple thousand troops in Syria. It's pretty much a kind of a placeholder there. We don't have an immense presence there, but the presence that we do have is important. It's symbolic, and it's indicative of our commitment to the Middle East. And we have to be aware that there are, when we look at the big picture, that the U.S. has, I think, an interest to be present in this region to check not only regional powers like Iran and Turkey, both of which are espouse values, I think, that are inconsistent with international human rights and inconsistent with U.S. interests in regards to Israel and in regards to pluralism and democracy that we want to see flourish in the Middle East. So we need to be present to check those regional powers. But then also, we need to be present in the region to check global powers. Power abhors a vacuum. If we create a vacuum in the Middle East by withdrawing from Syria or even withdrawing from Afghanistan, those vacuums are going to be filled by Russia and by China, both of which are ready, willing, and able to step in and begin to act in the region in a way that is advantageous to their interests. And honestly, their interests are ultimately against ours. China is not a regime that whose values we want to see spread all around the world, right? This is an oppressive, totalitarian regime that suppresses religion and religious minorities and persecutes Christians and persecutes Muslims. And so when China begins to step in economically or militarily, that they take those values with them. And so that's the role I think that the United States has. I know it's a burden that a lot of people see that, we're not the world's policeman and we can't be present everywhere. But hopefully, the idea is that where the United States is present, where the U.S. military is present, so are U.S. values. so are the values of pluralism and democracy and freedom, and that, you know, we want to see those values spread around the globe, not only because they're good for the people in those regions and beneficial for the people in the regions, but it's for our interests. You know, it's in mm-hmm. our interest economically and politically to see those values propagate across the Middle East, not only for stability, but just for our own ability to trade and engage with that region. So I think it's vitally important that we stay engaged, and there is definite concern in that region if we withdraw.
So, Drew, you and I are going to have to leave it right there today, but you're going to have to come back because I want to have a conversation about Trump's foreign policy from your perspective. And then also, I loved Robert Nicholson's article on religious diplomacy and the Pope, and I thought that we would get to that today, but we didn't. So you and I are going to have to return to conversations about both of those things. Thank you so much for being with us today on Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. All right, friends, what about college? What about college? What are your thoughts about college? What was your approach to college? How prepared were you, maybe as a young believer, for the challenges that students face in college? How are you as a parent today or grandparent today or an interested adult in the lives of the next generation? How are you actively conversing with and equipping high school students for the realities of college? And how might we as mature Christians encourage young people, encourage young Christians to have a different college experience? That's actually the title of the book that Ben Trueblood and Brian Mills have written. What does it look like to follow Christ in college? That's what we're going to talk about here in just a minute on Mornings with Carmen. All right, friends. All right. Now, let me just admit to Paul Perot, I've completely lost track of my time. Can I take a news break?
Yeah, that'd be the wise thing to do, yes.
There you go. Let's go to the news.
You've heard it said, it takes a village to raise a child. While it plays a role, it doesn't supplant the role of parents. This is Jim Garlow. Psalm 127:3 says, children are a reward from him, a blessing and a gift. This blessing is entrusted to parents, not the village. And with that, we have the responsibility to train our children in the ways of righteousness, as Ephesians 6:4 says, and that includes discipline, instruction, training, and education. Unfortunately, we have an educational system in America that often leaves parents with limited rights and choices. Underlying some laws and statements in removing parental authority is the reasoning that the state and popular culture knows how to raise your child better than you do. Scripture calls us to teach our children diligently, to train up a child in the way he should go, in principles and the truth of God's Word. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. All right, so I'm wondering if you have ever read Ephesians chapter 4 and you have thought to yourself, when we have this instruction about building up the body of Christ and attaining to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to actual maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's the measure of our maturity, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine or by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, rather speaking the truth in love. And I would also say, like, receiving the truth in love as believers, that we are to grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ. Like, that's discipleship. And then that's ministry and witness. And it is Christ who holds this whole body together, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped. I think we're talking here about the way the Holy Spirit works in the body and in its parts, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And yet here in the United States of America, we've basically said to young believers coming out of high school and going into college, well, not for the next 4 or 5 years. You don't have to grow up and mature in your faith and be an active part of the body and actually a participant in the gospel advance. You know, you get a pass while you're in college. We have somehow communicated that to generations of young people here in the United States. Seeking to turn that tide around are Ben Trueblood and Brian Mills. They have written a book entitled A Different College Experience, Following Christ in College, and they are here today to discuss it with us. Gentlemen, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you, Carmen. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we look forward to it.
All right. So just so that I can establish who is speaking when, because, you know, sometimes in a conversation like this, it's a little challenging for me and for a listener to say, all right, who's talking now? So Ben Trueblood serves as the director of student ministry for Lifeway Christian Resources. He's got 20 years of student ministry experience. And lots of those spent in the local church as a student pastor. So, Ben, tell us something. Tell us why you wrote this book. Who's this for?
Yeah, so this book is for graduating high school seniors and those at the beginning of their college journey. So freshmen, sophomores in college. And I would add, too, I think it's a great read for parents to read alongside their senior in high school as they have this year of transition, getting ready for them to launch into the next chapter of life.
All right. And then, Brian, you are the college pastor at Cross Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You are actively reaching thousands of college students and young adults every single week through the ministry that God has placed under your stewardship. You also serve as one of the chaplains for the University of Arkansas football team, which, you know, I'm in the SEC, so we're just going to set that aside for a moment. We may not always be praying in concert with one another on Saturdays in the fall, but that's a different conversation. So, Brian, I think that each and every one of us that ever writes a book, there's a motivation of a story of one person who this book had existed for 5 or 10 years ago. Tell me who comes to mind when I say that.
Well, I don't think of a story 5 to 10 years ago. Quite honestly, I think of the stories today just because I'm in the trenches of the day with college students. I spend so much time with them. We watch college students walk in and out of heartache, and they're creating all this baggage while they're in college simply because they want that what cultural calls the college experience. And so as Ben and I evaluated that, I think of names here, just current day people who are walking through some really dark days and thought if they just would have come in with a different perspective, the whole trajectory of their life would be different because they wouldn't have the baggage of 4 years. And
all right,
that's
so
what generated
this
book.
Yeah, and so let's stick with that theme there for a second. And so Brian, specifically, what is different about the college experience that you guys are advocating in this book?
I would say it's what the tagline is on the book, that this college experience is about following Christ in college. So it's not about hitting whatever your party street is for your particular college. It's not about what the fraternity house provides. This is about following with what God's word gives us and following Christ in college, which is almost a baggage-free life. There's a lot more peace, a lot more hope, a lot more direction, a lot more assurance, a lot less worry that all the things that college students would deal with today that you could do while living in college.
Hmm. So again, we're talking about a different college experience, following Christ in college. If you have high school students and you are interested in entering a drawing for the copies we have here in studio, you can text me 877-933-2484, or you can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. Ben, at the beginning of the book, you guys essentially present the gospel. So I'd love for you to articulate why students and, frankly, why parents of students this age sort of need that at the front end of this conversation and how that conversation sort of sets up the rest of the book.
Yeah, that's something that we wanted to make sure and do at the beginning of the book for two main reasons. One, our hope is that this book will land into the hands of people and into the homes of families who may not have a relationship with Jesus at this point. You know, maybe a grandmother or someone like that in an effort to reach out to that graduating senior, gets them this book, or maybe believing parents to an unbelieving or far from God teenager gives them this book as kind of that, if I could say one last thing to you before you leave our house, here's what it would be. And so we wanted to begin the book with the gospel, knowing that there are going to be people, and prayerfully believing by faith, knowing that there are going to be people who may be exposed to the reality of the gospel for the first time. And we wanted to give them an opportunity to meet Jesus and to hear what he's done for them and how he provides for them. The second reason for that is that in order to, as Brian talked about, follow Christ in college and maybe have less baggage at the end of those 4 years than what we see from a lot of college students, is that they have to start with the gospel. That's where the power to live for Christ comes from. It's not we wake up every morning and we will ourselves to make better decisions or to not party. It's by falling deeply in love with Jesus and Jesus living in and through us, us living that crucified life so that we no longer live, but Christ lives in us, that we are able to live that kind of life and to follow him. And so that begins at the feet of Jesus. It begins with the gospel and the good news that we know from him.
I'm a Galatians 2:20 girl, so thank you for throwing in that reference so seamlessly. We're going to take a brief break, but when I return, we're going to continue the conversation with Ben Trueblood and Brian Mills about a different college experience. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen, and I'm Carmen LaBerge. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge, continuing my discussion with Ben Trueblood and Brian Mills about a different college experience following Christ in college. Again, if you would like to enter a drawing for one of the copies of the book that we have here in studio, you can do so by texting or calling 877-933-2484. You can email me, Carmen at myfaithradio.com. So Ben and Brian, the portion of the book that... well, this might just be because I'm kind of an application junkie, but I love the whole emphasis on wisdom, the importance of wisdom, the cultivation of wisdom, living with wisdom. I think that we think about college as a time when, you know, somebody's supposed to go somewhere and get smart on a particular subject matter and prepare themselves for a particular vocation. But you guys really, I think, hit the nail on the head with this wisdom conversation. So, Ben, let's have you address this. Why wisdom? Why the focus on cultivating wisdom in college?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And as Brian and I talked about this book and outlined it and dreamed about what it could be, that was one of the major components, because if you connect it to the gospel and connect it to the foundation of what we believe about Jesus and who Jesus is in us and the relationship that we as followers of Jesus are meant to have with God's word, that doesn't just produce better behavior. It's not meant to produce just better behavior. It doesn't just produce good choices. What it does produce is wisdom and a worldview that begins thinking of everything in our lives through the filter of God's word. And I think that's really the heart of that application, is we're not just trying to prepare people and equip people to make specific decisions while they're in college. Our hope is that they begin to have this relationship with Jesus and his word that produces wisdom and a thought process that helps them make decisions now and for the rest of their lives. And those decisions, like I said, run through the filter of God's word that is true wisdom for us.
So, Brian, let's apply that to, you know, sort of reality of college and college life today. And let's use, you know, some headline news to help us do that. I'm wondering if the mind of Christ had been applied effectively in the mid-1980s, if we would have a governor in Virginia now having to look at pictures in his, you know, medical school yearbook that are, you know, just horrifically racist. There's no other way to describe that. So let's talk about social media. Let's talk about the way that all of this conversation actually does bear itself out in the real life of real college students today.
Yeah, so you talk real life, real world. You talk at the University of, let's just talk University of Arkansas, because I know you love the Razorbacks. And so
they're like weird pigs, man. That's all I have to say. This is all I got. It's just weird pigs. I'm a Gator. Yes, I'm a Gator. That's, you know, and yet I live in Tennessee now. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, I get that. I get it. Well, we have a deal called Thirsty Thursday. Every Thursday night is all the parties for, you know, at all the fraternity houses or all the drinking. And then they have a night like that almost every night of the week that they entitled All Around the College Experience. Well, now we can have the debate going to those. Is it building community? Is it helping college students experience college to the fullest? Or are we living unwise? And Andy Stanley wrote a book called The Best Question Ever. And he said the best question ever is not what is the right thing to do. It's what is the wise thing to do. And when we begin to ask that question, especially college students, it's not should I go there, is it wise to go there? It's not should I date that person, but is it wise to date that person? Should I dress that way, or is it wise to dress that way? And if we start following wisdom, then we start following God's proverbs, God's word, and living according to God's word like Ben spoke of, then we're going to live a different college experience. And it's going to give us a greater satisfaction on the backside, because we're not going to feel so empty during it. And I know college students every single day. I mean, I think of a college student I spoke with the other day about an abortion that she had just had. I think, and that's a pretty common issue we deal with in the midst of the collegiate world. You think of the ones that are getting pregnant in college, or the alcohol consumption so heavy that they're having to drop out of school. It's just really sad what so many of them deal with. And if we can help teach them wisdom to get on the other side of that, we're going to help people have healthy marriages. We're going to help people be healthy parents one day and make godly decisions throughout their careers as they leave college and go into the world of what they would call adulting.
Hmm. I feel like the three of us could talk about this not just all day long, but probably all year long. I appreciate this contribution to the conversation about students, about student life, about preparing our students for a different college experience, and preparing them for adulting. I appreciate this. So Ben Trueblood and Brian Mills are the authors. The book is A Different College Experience, Following Christ in College. If you're interested in entering the drawing for the copies we have here in studio, you can call or text 877-933-2484. You can always email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. All right, guys, we have 1 minute left. Ben, in 1 minute, what do you hope people do with this book?
Well, I hope people read it. And I hope people don't just read it to get through the material, but that it actually sinks and seeps into their lives, that their lives become something not just about 4 years, but become something that builds a foundation for years to come in someone's relationship with Jesus, how they interact with God's word, how they live according to his power, and how they operate their life on wisdom from his word for the rest of their life. That's our prayer.
All right. And I'm going to give a quick shout out to Robert and Virginia Morris, who poured God's wisdom into my life when I was in college. And I can look back and recognize that I was able to have a different college experience because of their, you know, direct mentoring and pouring into me. So if you're listening right now, don't forget that you have influence in the life not only of high school students, but you have influence in the life of colleges and college students. Be prayer walking your college campuses. Get out there and get engaged with the college students who now live in your community. And get the book, A Different College Experience, Following Christ in College. Ben Trueblood and Brian Mills, thank you for being with us today on Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you for having us.
Friends, I got to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LeBurg. It was just last week that we talked with Julie Lohse about all of the opportunities that we have as Christians to impact the college campus today. It's super recent. I mean, we just talked to her. So we were talking about every campus, the Every Campus Initiative. We were talking about college apologetics on college campuses. We were talking about prayer walking college campuses. So if you go to My Faith Radio and you check on the Mornings with Carmen page, you can find my conversation with Julie Lohse. Her last name is spelled L-O-O-S. And you can get all kinds of ideas and equipping for engaging college students today in your own community. I found that a very encouraging conversation. And again, if you've got high school students preparing for college, a different college experience following Christ in college is a great equipping tool for each and every one of us. This is a ministry of the University of Northwestern St. Paul, so I'd encourage you to check out what's happening. It's a Christ-centered educational opportunity in St. Paul, Minnesota. And so if you are live in the Twin Cities or somewhere in the larger region and you're not afraid of the cold, because that would be, you know, my primary concern, right, as a person from the South, it's a beautiful campus and where Christ is glorified in every aspect of the life and ministry of the school. And they're seeking to help kids have a different college experience and follow Christ in college right there at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. So a little shout out to the benefactor of this radio station. We are going to turn our attention in the second hour of the program to really the Bible and business. We talk with Bill English on a regular basis, and he and I are going to talk about some business leadership lessons that we can all learn from one of our favorite sports, which in America would be football. And then I'm really looking forward to my conversation later with Valerie Elliott Shepherd. Yeah, that's a name that you recognize. She is the only daughter of Elizabeth Elliott. And so we want to return to that conversation with her and celebrate love this Valentine's week. I'm Carmen LeBurge. You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LeBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.